For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, sitting somewhat uneasily in the most coveted seat in the grassroots sport. What a pleasure to be behind the mic on such a momentous occasion. Joining me by the power of the internet, good evening, new manager of Combined Counties Premier side Chertsey Town, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
And completing my team, the voice that so many of you asked to come back, the National League's and indeed the Non-League Football Show's very own Caroline Barker. Good evening, Caroline.
Why do I come second? No, don't answer that. I mean, already.
Shall we start again?
Okay, so I've got to tick that explicit box on the iTunes entry again this week.
What a delight to be back with you. I don't know. I mean, you call it work, but clearly nothing has worked, and that's why I'm back.
I mean,
don't talk about me. Talk about you taking a job with the dark side and going all managerial on us. Did they offer you a lot of money?
Loads. No, people believe that. Listen. We've spoke on record, we've spoke off the record, in the pub, out of the pub. I had no intentions of going back. And then I had a phone call from Dave Rayner, who I've known for many years. And he is Chertsey Town. He's loved it. It's always been his club. And he wants to invest a little bit into it and just asked me if I'd come and meet him. And I did, and I've always liked Dave and his enthusiasm. I actually like the fact that it is lower than, and I don't mean it arrogantly, but it is lower than I've managed for 30 years, I suppose. I started there, and I just like the thought of it. I like the thought of going back to that way under the radar. It is. I'm going to try and make it a hobby as opposed to my life, but I will be working. I've been working very hard, let me tell you.
But I'm not buying that at all. You, Tim?
No.
Well, I was looking. I probably was aware, but the nickname of Chertsey Town is the Curfews. So I was wondering what sort of rules Mr. Anderson's going to be bringing in there.
Well, be used to that, won't you, Dave, with your tag?
Yeah. That's never been proven. What I would say is that... curfews. I've been up 24 hours a day trying to sign players at the minute, but it's a different level. It's a different. I think you know me well enough. I'm serious about it, but you have to adapt to the level of where you are, which means you have to adapt to the level that footballers come in and generally they don't get it. They get some expenses if they're lucky, and so it has to be enjoyable to them, and that's what I want to do, and that will probably calm me down a bit because I don't really want to get irate with players or officials. I just want to go and enjoy myself, and that's the plan.
We need to fit you out with some sort of Apple Watch or something, don't we? See if we can get.
Yeah. I think I'll probably about 3:20 on Saturday. I might change my mind, but that's what the plan is anyway. But I am absolutely as stunned as you are, believe me.
Yeah, I'm not that stunned. show him a pound note and he'll go back.
So are you going to be suited and booted or is it a tracksuit manager, this one, that Mr. Anderson?
No, it's a tracksuit. I think we've all moved on. So I remember wearing shirt and tie day games 100 years ago when it was first at this level. But it'll be tracksuit. And the minute it's a Horabura tracksuit. It's the only one I could find.
I think that's the only one I could fit in.
Yeah. Oh, I've lost weight. I've lost nearly a stone, girl. You know.
I know. But, I've been looking at the photos.
Yeah.
It was the photo they used of you on the press release was from about 1960. It was brilliant. Can you tell that I'm getting all my insults in that I've been storing up over the past three
months?
Yeah,
you know, it's like therapy for you. What I would like to say is that I'm sure the listeners have heard enough about Mr. Anderson and what he's doing next. Move on.
Okay, so let's have a quick run over some of the news of the week. A credible 1-1 draw with leaders Salford City this week was not enough for North Ferriby United, as the result confirmed their relegation from National North. Better news at Chester, who after announcing in mid-January they needed £50,000 to survive until the end of March, this week revealed their fundraising has already doubled that, although they remain 8 points from safety in the National National League. Hoping for some similar good news, fellow National Leaguers and mid-table Dagenham and Redbridge hosted a strong West Ham United 11 in a fundraising friendly as they look to raise much-needed finance to help them through the remainder of the season. And in the Isthmian Premier, Lowestoft Town hold a supporters meeting this week to discuss the way forward for the club, who have their own GoFundMe fundraising campaign on the go, with the club facing financial difficulties too. And at Hartlepool United, they may not have a game this weekend due to scheduled opposition Bromley's FA Trophy commitments, but they may have a new owner if the latest news reports are true, and a deal with the consortium led by former Darlington chairman Raj Singh and Sky Sports Jeff Stelling are back on. And that will also see former Pools boss Craig Hignett come back in as director of football. On the ground front, Isthmian Leaguers Guernsey FC and the Guernsey FA have announced plans for a new purpose-built 4,000 spectator stadium, and Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council have agreed a 75-year lease for the Hampshire FA with a clause to provide a ground for National South Basingstoke Town at the Winkelbury site. The club planning to move there once ground criterion works have been completed. At Southport, just outside the National League playoffs at the moment, the club have announced a big stadium refurbishment and a new community and college academy as they look to push on under the guidance of new CEO Natalie Atkinson. And so to the management changes. Dino Marmria has left Nuneaton Town to take up the reins at former club Stevenage Borough, having steered them from relegation certainties to mid-table by the time of his departure this week. Wrexham boss Dean Keats, he's also headed off to the Football League to take up the main job at Walsall. Andy Davis takes over the reins at Wrexham as they look to secure a National League playoff spot. Northwood have parted company with interim boss Jane Heracles after 2 months leading the Southern League South East outfit. And of course, in the combined counties Premier Division, Chertsey Town have parted company with Carl Taylor and tempted our very own Dave Anderson out of retirement. One other bit of news to report this week, a win for England C. A hat-trick for Dagenham and Redbridge forward Fejiri Okun-Biri was enough to secure a 3-2 win for the non-league's Three Lions over Wales at Jenner Park Barry on Tuesday night. This was England C's first game since defeat in the International Challenge Trophy final defeat to Slovakia's under-21s last November. And boss Paul Fairclough handed debuts to seven players in his starting lineup, including the whole back four of Leighton Orient's Sam Ling, Kidderminster Harriers' Fraser Horsfall, and Woking's Josh Staunton, and Barrow left-back Dan Jones. After the first legs last weekend, this weekend sees the returns and the deciders in the semi-finals of the FA Trophy and FA Vars. In the FA Trophy, Gateshead hosts Bromley on Saturday, with the Southern side carrying a 3-2 lead into the tie. Join us on the line to tell us how the Gateshead side are shaping up for the weekend. Defender Jamal Fifield.
Hi, good evening, you okay?
Yeah, in that first leg, you were 1-up, then 2-1 up at half-time, but come away 3-2. Were the lads disappointed or excited? Because you're still very much in it.
Yeah, we're still very much in the game, you know. That's the way our season has gone so far in the FA Trophy. We've had so many setbacks, but then we've overcome them all. So, obviously, we're disappointed to lose the first leg, but we've always got the second leg to go into and look forward to.
And what's it like, you know, coming up against the same side that you played last week? Are there any little bits of niggle that are there from last week coming into this game?
To be honest, in our last three FA Trophy games, we've had two legs, so we're kind of used to it now. We've seen what they have to offer. I think they played their best game on Saturday, and we was nowhere near what we can do in the second half. So I think we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you're, I think, still only 29, but you've got plenty of experience under your wing, and you've been here before too. Was it 2012 with York City? Came on as a sub late on, and I think you have a bit of a part to play in that winning goal there. And are these the sort of stories that you tell in the camp so that you get all the boys lifted?
I don't think the boys really want to hear about my old exploits, to be honest, but. It's always good to have experience in the team, you know. We've got quite a lot of players that have been in this situation as well. So I did have success in winning this trophy a couple of years ago, and that helps us and stands us in good stead, you know. It's always good, as I said, to have the experience. But all these games are so different, and the games are so challenging that even though you do have that experience, you still have to put the performances on the pitch. And I did have a hand in the second leg semi-final in the last time I was at. So hopefully I can do the same this time.
And to be fair, Jamil, 3-2 is like, I'm sure it was great for the crowd, but twitchy for managers. And what you're talking about, every game's different. What I often find, in when the first leg's 3-2, the second leg will be a 0-0 or an edgy 1-0. Can it possibly be 3-2 again?
Well, hopefully we don't concede as many goals as that. But in the first leg, we scored after a minute. So if we can, one goal changes this time massively. You know, if we get the first goal, then I don't see why we can't go on and score a couple more. You know, we played Leyton Orient in the quarterfinals and we was 3-0 down with 20 minutes to go, and we managed to claw that game back. So we've got the belief, we know what we can do, and there's no reason why we can't go there and put on a performance.
And well, it's got to be a full house, is it?
We're hoping so. We need the whole of the North East to come and support us. You know, there's only a couple chances to get to Wembley as players, and as fans, everyone loves a day out. So we'll be hoping that the fans of Newcastle and Sunderland pull together and come and watch us.
Yeah, last one from me. Patience will play a part. If you don't get the quick goal, you're going to have to be patient as a side, and obviously your experience will come into that, won't it?
No, definitely, you know. Obviously, there's 90 minutes to play. You don't have to win the game in the first 10 minutes, but the longer the game goes on, they can't just sit back for 90 minutes. I'm sure they'll be trying to attack as well. So I think any team that goes out to defend the lead usually ends up conceding. So yeah. I'm sure it'll be an open game and plenty of goals scored. Hopefully for us more than them.
Hiya, Jamal. We spoke many times to your old gaffer, Drax Hippolyte, about you, and he used to rave about you, and every player that came through Maidenhead, I think you'd say, oh, he's going to go on and he's going to be like Jamal. How much do you still stay in touch with kind of your old managers? What sort of impact of the likes of Drax had on your career?
To be honest, if it wasn't for Drax, I wouldn't be here. You know, he picked me up when I'd got released from Leyton Orient as an 18-year-old, and 4 years later he managed me to get back in that programme. So without the likes of Jackson, there's many other managers that are doing a great job in the lower leagues and helping players just like myself. They're a credit to themselves and their profession, you know. So I talk to Drax here and there. I'm still close with his son. But yeah, as I said, Drax is a great manager, and without him, I wouldn't be here today.
Is it tough being that sort of the player that's gone on, experienced it, come back into the National League level and not being a jobbing footballer, but really having to graft and keep moving around clubs to make sure that you keep getting that step?
It has. It's always a challenge, you know. I think the game gets harder and harder every year. There's so many players, so many good players out of contract and looking for a team, that you always have to be on your game. You can't rest on your laurels. Myself, I always aim to play at least 40 games a season, just so I've got that, just in case I do get released once again. And I can go to another club and say, this is what I've done the last season, and this is the reason why you should take me. But luckily for myself, I've always seemed to find myself with a contract on the table. And it is hard, but I think that's the nature of most professions, to be honest. Just football is just one of those harder ones where there's so many different competitions and there's young players coming through all the time. So the experience does help, but at the same time, you have to keep updating your resume, as I say.
Well, is the trophy part of that, in the going to Wembley, hopefully, fingers crossed for you guys, going there too, is a chance for you to say, right, here I am again, look how well I'm doing?
Definitely, you know. It's even bigger than that for myself. At the end of my career, I want to look back and be proud of what I've done, you know. I can show my daughter the trophies I've got and the games I've played. And obviously, when I was coming up, my aspiration was to play at the highest level. That hasn't been the case, but to get what I have now, there's a lot of people that haven't. So I'm proud of what I've done so far, and I want to keep progressing.
I wanted to come back in, Jamil, because I'm sure I asked the Bromley captain last week that you get into the semi-final. These are the two favourites playing each other, and whoever wins the game goes into a tie against, the cup final against sort of two sides in division sort of below. Is that on your mind at all, or can you not even sort of think about that? Because really, if whoever wins your tie will be big favourites to win it.
They always say never look beyond the game you're going to play next. And obviously, when you've got a stadium like Wembley, potentially where you could be playing your next game, it's really hard. But we've been, since the FA Trophy started, we've played all the teams in our league. We haven't had one of the lower league opposition. So we've had the toughest run, and we've played Guiseley, Barnwood, Maidstone, Leyton Orient, and obviously now Bromley. So we will. I'm sure we will be going into the game favourites. But if you look at last year, the team that got relegated from our league ended up winning. So you can't really take anything for granted. At the end of the day, there's still 11 players on the pitch. And everyone wants to win at the end of the day. I think everyone will raise their game once they're at Wembley. Their families, the big occasion. There'll be lots of fans there. So although there'll be favourites, you know how football goes. There's always going to be upset around the corner if you don't take it seriously.
Jamal, obviously, FA Trophy, a chance to go back to Wembley, that's great. But do you think that cup success and those hard games that you've had, has that been a detriment to the league?
I wouldn't say a detriment, because the more games you play, I think, and the more success you get, it kind of helps the momentum of to the league. I think we've let ourselves down in the league, but since Steve Watson's come in and Mickey Cummins, they've done a great job in keeping the place positive, and we've had some great results. You know, there's been a few decisions that have gone against us referee wise with red cards and penalties. They're quite soft decisions, but I wouldn't say there's a detriment to the league. I think it's just one of those things where we need to take our success in the FA Trophy back into the league.
Yeah, and you're shy of the playoffs, but you've got plenty of games in hand. Is it still doable that you can make those playoffs?
Definitely. As long as it's mathematically possible, there's always a chance we can do it. And our last league out, we won 7-1. So we're a confident bunch at the moment. So never say never, you know. It's in Gateshead's history that they've gone on a similar run to what we're trying to do, really, when they were dead and buried, and then they managed to go on a 15-game unbeaten run and get in the playoffs. So it's definitely possible. Anything's possible in football. You just have to believe.
Belief, that's what it's all about. Well, we'll be, I'm sure there'll be many people up in the northeast believing in you at the weekend and looking forward to you making Wembley again and hopefully having a chat with us again later on the season. Thanks for joining us, Jamal.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for your time, cheers. Thanks,
Jamal.
Thank you.
Take care. What a brilliant talker.
Yeah, a very confident young man. Yeah. I remember when he first got into the side at Maidenhead, and you're right, Caroline, the things that Drax used to say about him, he was going to be the next one, and he was.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But then he did then subsequently say that about everyone else off the back of it. So he'd say about, I was trying to think, was it McCain? Was it a guy at Maidenhead, a young guy coming through? And I always remember Drax saying, oh, he's going to be the next Jamal Fifield. So he's used his name throughout the time.
Yeah, to be fair, he's had a good career, you know, at the level as well, Kaz. And I was just talking earlier on, I've been funny enough been talking about players the last couple of days, but people sort of, I like the arrogance. It's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. He's confident in what he's doing and what he's saying and what his team are. And and sometimes I think people try and disguise that because it's an interview and they don't want to come across as being blasé. But I love it. I love people who are confident. Who would you rather have sitting beside you in the dressing room going into a big game? He'll be getting the lads at it in the dressing room, and you know, and it feeds into people. You know, the edgy ones. You need a couple who have got the arrogance to take the big occasion on, and the sort of nervous guys feed on it. You know.
But what he was saying as well, that when he moved from Wrexham to go to Gateshead, and he has gone about his journey on that way. But then for him to say that he wants to win it so he can get another trophy for his daughter, which too just shows kind of his motivation as well, which is brilliant too. But
yeah,
you said to be 3-2 down. I know it's up at their place as well. But they, I mean, to have gone 2-1 up and then to kick yourself really for conceding those goals. Bromley go in with their tails up, don't they?
Well, they do, but you know, he made a really good point, and I hadn't thought about the point until he actually made it when he said, well, you know, they're 3-2 up. They can't sit on the result. But it is the easiest thing to do subconsciously is to try and defend what you have. Now, if Gateshead are 3-2 up, they might start cagey. They can't now. So when they start on the front foot, get the crowd up. It's, I'm not saying it's easier to go into a tie being behind, but the hardest thing to do is win from in front. And they go into it. What have they got to lose, you know? So I expect the first 20 minutes, Bromwell need to really have their wits and their organisation about them. And they also have to try and come out at some stage, because you cannot defend a one-goal lead in a semi-final for 90 minutes. So it's interesting.
I'm laughing because is that going to be your mantra at Chertsey? The hardest place to win is when you're in front.
I won't mention what commentary I listened to somewhere else this week. But the commentator did say that a defeat wouldn't be the worst result for his side.
I'll keep that one for Saturday night. But I have to say, listen, winning from in front, it's tough. It's the hardest thing to do is win from in front. There you go.
Oh, okay, well, should we stay with the FA Trophy? In the other semi-final, it's National South against National North. Wealdstone entertained Brackley Town, with the visitors leading 1-0 from the first leg. Still very much all to play for there as well, as Wealdstone manager Bobby Wilkinson will surely tell us. Good evening, Bobby.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening, Bobby.
No, I'm not going to say good evening, because he's fed up listening to me the last 24 hours. I've been tortured. He's got the biggest game of his career in Saturday, and he's only just sorting out players for me. So, God bless you, Bobby. I'm going to stay out of this one.
We've heard that before. So looking at this big game, a rather big game that you got ahead this weekend, then 1-0 down from that first leg. Would you have taken that before a ball was kicked in the semis?
No, I'm not happy to be 1-0 down. I've just heard what Dave just said. I want it to be 0-0 or 1-0 up. if I'm being open honest here, 0-0, 1-0 down, it doesn't really matter. You've just got to win your home tie. If we were 0-0, we would have still had to score. So 1-0 down, we're disappointed with the late goal, but I have to accept it, can't change it, move forward now and try and win a game.
And it is a big game. I assume that everybody's reported for duty, no injuries or any issues ahead of the game?
No, everyone's fit, raring to go. We trained really well on Monday for a few hours. We're back in again tomorrow night, prepping for them, you know, trying another game plan to hopefully get the win. Just trying to keep the boys really grounded and just enjoy a game of football, what is, like, for some lads, the biggest game of their careers.
And it's a big game for the club as well, isn't it? You know, the club's had some big times in the past, but, you know, to these big games, when you're trying to build a community, build the youth teams around, they're essential, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're right. I think it's massive for the club. Well, the club just expect us to be challenging for trophies and trying to get into cup finals like the Wembleys and doing well in the league, because it's such a big club in non-league football. So, you know, every single game for us is a very important game, and hopefully we can keep making the fans and the board and the chairman proud, because we're having a wonderful season, you know, under hard conditions at times, and I'm just so proud of everyone at the club.
Yeah, and as much as I said, Bobby, I'll do my interviewing role now, nothing to do with my football job. Listen, 1-0, lost the first leg, 1-0, late goal. How did the tie go, though, Bob? You know, did you have to? Were you under pressure? How did you come out of it feeling you deserved a little bit more? How was the game?
Dave, the game was absolutely went to game plan. It was very cagey first 45 minutes. They looked very nervous. We looked very nervous. We matched each other in every department. Second half, we came out guns blazing. First 25 minutes, we didn't take one of our chances where we could have maybe gone 1-0 up. This is why, you know, they're the best team in Europe at home, because they defended for their lives and then they get their goal. So overall, if everyone was open and honest, I think 0-0 would have been a fair result, but they were at home with home advantage.
Yeah, and you go into it. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't surprise me when you say that they were cagey. It can sometimes be difficult to play at home in big games, but I'd imagine because you're one down, the crowd's up, and you'll get at them early doors, I would guess.
yeah, we've got to go for it. And the nice thing about it, and everything you said earlier is dead right, they now have to decide, do they stick or do they fold? And, you know, are they going to come at us? I think they will, actually. I don't think they will sit back in at all. But they will definitely have to be at training this week thinking, cool, we just need to hold on to our 1-0 lead. And that can be dangerous for us. It's just attack, 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 score the goals. And I'll blatantly be honest, I want to score 2 goals and defend our life. You know, that's what I've said to the boys, if that's what it takes. and I will park 3 double-decker buses in front of that goal if I have to. I just want to do it for the club, you know. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge because, you know, I don't think a lot of people give us enough praise, actually, because we've gone, like I said, to the best team in Europe at home. And we've only conceded 1 goal in the last couple of minutes. You know, we could have been out dead and buried because they're such a brilliant side. They're very organised. You know, and a lot of people said, oh, they didn't play great on the day. Listen, their record doesn't lie. They haven't lost at home all season since last March. So I still think it was a great achievement for us to bring them home. And we're looking for the challenge. And we know it's a big challenge. And hopefully we can do it.
I was reading, Bobby, you talk about that 95% of the game plan went to plan. Have you planned then for penalties and what might happen then? Have you got your own who will take what?
Yes, we. I've done all that at home. We didn't discuss it on Monday. We just wanted to concentrate on the game plan on Monday. But we will prepare for it because you never know and you'd be very disappointed after if you didn't prepare for it. So you'll definitely have a little look at it. To be fair, we've got some quality players that will want penalties anyway, and with our crowd behind the back of the goal, you know, putting them off. So we will prepare because it's a one in a lifetime opportunity and you can't not prepare for that situation.
You've already gone and executed game plans this season. I could have done with you last night. My team Chelmsford were up against Billericay in the Essex Senior Cup and we lost that, having seen you turn Billericay over too. You've played in front of noisy crowds, haven't you? You've got your own noisy fans at Wealdstone too. What's the kind of extra factor you think then that will take you over the line this weekend?
Well, basically, I don't think you need any motivation for this sort of game. Whoever wants it the most will win the game, you know, and you do have to have a little bit of luck as well. We didn't really have a little luck on Saturday when we had one cleared off the line, but you need a little bit of luck. But I've said it in many, many interviews and people get bored of it now, is I just keep believing. I never stop believing. I believe these boys and these fans and these board of directors and chairman deserve a day at Wembley. And we're going to fight for everything on the day. And hopefully if we give it our all, it will be enough. But if it's not, as long as we give 100%.
I was going to leave it there, but I've got one more. What happens then when someone like the likes of Dave Anson picks up the phone to you and says, can I have a player? What do you take into account before saying, yes, I'll give you such and such?
Well, I quite like Dave, but he hasn't come down and bought me a beer yet, so I might not give him a player yet. But I'm a manager that wants to help because I remember when I managed in the lower leagues coming up, I needed help and not many people gave you help with players because they're always too busy and things like that. And I think in football, loyalty is everything and you've got to help people out. And if I can help Dave out, what in years to come, he might help me out. So if I can give him a player and help him out, you know, I think that's what we should do a lot more, us managers. I don't think it happens enough out there, you know, in football. So I try and help a lot of people out. It's why I've got a lot of friends and a lot of people that want to help me out in the game. So, you know, it's a 10-minute phone call, isn't it? You know, even this week, I am busy.
You sure?
Dave needs a favour and hopefully I can.
If it's Dave, it's longer than 10 minutes, isn't it?
I have spoken to Bobby and it was more than 10 minutes and it covered more than one player. It covered a whole string of things. But I was only doing it to keep his mind off the big game, you know, and let him relax a bit.
Do you know, that was the 10 minutes that day because I had my wife in my ear all day. Can I do this? Can I do that? So, Dave, I'll speak to you all day about football, not a problem.
Bobby, what about, you know, you're making progress on the field. When we spoke to you earlier on the season, you just lost a couple of lads that had gone on into the pro game and you said about, you know, you can never stand in their way. But obviously, if you make a Wembley final, that's more of your lads in the shop window. And is it a real double-edged sword. You want to be at Wembley, but you know you're trying to build a side that's going to go on for seasons to come. How do you approach that?
I don't think you can really ever look at it that way. All you have to do is just keep believing that you can make Wembley, and it's just brilliant for the club. Because you're at such a big club, like I said earlier, they expect you to be in all these finals and stuff like that. And if I can get another one or two that will go on into the pro game, or someone from a higher league comes and looks at one or two of our players, I just think that's a credit to the club, you know, all round. And let's not forget, it's not me, it's everyone, you know, from even the start. It was Gordon who found Abs at the start of the year, and he deserved a lot of credit for that as well. Yes, I took over and then I managed him very different and made him into a bit of a man, but I don't think it's just me or the players, it's all the way down. Everyone's got a part to play for their moods, and we must always remember that, you know, everyone has a part. And if these boys get a move, credit to them. I won't stop them, actually, if I'm honest with you.
And we've heard Mr. Anderson's move back into this management game thing. And, you know, whatever the result Saturday, you're then back to the league. You've got busy Easter schedule. You've got fixture catch up. You're still a potential for playoffs there. Possibly a cup final the day after the FA Cup final with this trophy. And when do you get a chance to maybe take a breather and sort of look ahead to next season?
The problem is you don't. In this game, you know, and I remember Dave saying it last time, people do think you exaggerate when you say it's 24 hours a day. I haven't slept for about 2-3 weeks. You just don't switch off. You are constantly working, working, working. And when the season ends, you think, cool, I might get a week, 2 weeks now. You just don't. And for instance, we play next week, you know, a couple of games in 1 week. And then the week after, we play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, because we're so behind now. You just don't get a minute, you know, because everyone forgets the other side of it as well. You've got to keep the players happy. You've got to meet them. You've got your fit training in. And you just don't get 5 minutes. And I'll be honest, I don't actually switch off, even in the summer. I will go away for 10 days and I'll be on the phone every day, still sorting things out. But that's what we love and breed. And that's why I'm so passionate about the game. And I want to succeed because I just love this game so much.
Well, we suppose we better let you go then. Either duck the calls from Mr. Anderson, or maybe you might want to talk to your wife. I don't know.
I'll take Dave's phone call. Don't worry about it.
I'll tell you, Bobby, to be fair, I was so desperate. I've always said to Bobby, like, I'll come down and we'll have a beer. I'll buy you a beer. And I was earmarking Saturday, but I was so desperate not to buy a beer, I took a football job.
See what you're all working with. See what I mean? You don't even want to buy a beer. He's rather took a job. So, literally, credit you, not a problem. I'm pleased you're back in football. You only want to see good people in football, so I'm really pleased for you as well. But you do have to buy a beer now and again.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Good luck, Saturday.
Good luck, Bobby.
Thanks, everyone. Have a lovely evening, everyone. And hopefully I'll speak to you when we've done it, hopefully.
Yeah, there may even be some celebratory beers for Mr. Anderson. Who knows?
Yeah, I promise you that. Thanks
very much.
I promise.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
It's difficult, Dave, isn't it? Because Wilson have got such pedigree and to get there. But Brackley, we all know what Brackley have been up to over the past few seasons, how well they've done too. And as he says, the best game in Europe. It's a tough ask for them, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't get a final like the FA Trophy without it being a tough ask. I would say most of the way through it. I do think it's a tough ask. I think the one thing that I do know is that, you know, in non-league football, that their supporters are as loud. And I've said it before, venomous, but I mean it in a good way. I got a bit of stick on Twitter, banter on. I hate the word banter, but a bit of stick on Twitter, good fun. But they will absolutely be behind their team Saturday. And when it's like that at Wilston, it's a great occasion. And, you know, I always say about Northern Ireland that the crowd can be a 12th man. I think in occasions like this, the crowd can be a 12th man, and you'd always want your second leg to be at home in this position. What will be absolutely vital in finishing is the first goal's massive. It's massive, yeah. You know, if it goes, whatever way it goes, it's massive, you know. So, but I wish him well, you know, he's a local manager and he's a good lad and he's a young manager. And this experience will just go into his CV, and when it comes out the other end, when he's digested all, he'll just move on again.
I mentioned that Chelmsford lost to Billericay in the Essex Senior Cup. We had made a number of changes because we had a load of our current players all cup tied, so weren't able to play. But Wealdstone could still sneak into the playoffs too. We've dropped down to sixth in the National South now. But Wealdstone, I know they're 13th, but they've got a couple of games in hand. They'd still be outside the playoffs if they won those, but they'd be sniffing around that too. To have done all that he's done in the trophy, to still have an outside chance of making the playoffs, incredible, really.
It is, and because that'll be his next challenge. His next challenge will be win or lose on Saturday, and people might think, oh, win? But you have to get over it. It's after the Lord Mayor's show, you know, big games like that, then you go back into the routine of the league. And him and the staff need to manage that and get the motivation levels right. And, you know, because it takes a lot out of you, these big ties. If you lose, you know, if you lose, it's the same thing. You got to pick the lads up, you know. So you're always working on what's next. Will they make playoffs? I wouldn't bet against them. If it's just, it'll be about keeping the lads fit. And when you start to go 2 to 3 games a week, then it can drain anyone's resources, Kaz, you know.
It is semi-final week in the FA Vars as well. Second leg games on Saturday with our first match. Another close encounter. Well balanced after Thatcham Town of the Hellenic Premier took the first leg 1-0 against 1874 Northwich of the North West Counties Premier League. So off to Cheshire this weekend for the return leg. And joining us on the line is Northwich skipper Matt Woolley, who I guess is fairly confident of turning this tie around. Good evening, Matt.
Evening, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. So just that single goal in the first game, you've got to be confident that you can turn that one around.
I think we are. We had a good performance last night, which has lifted the spirits a bit from Saturday, because we were disappointed with the, not so much performance, but the way we handled ourselves in the cage and got to us a bit. But we definitely turned it around, I think, in the home leg and with the support behind us.
Yeah, you say a game midweek. You've got plenty of those to come, haven't you? You won 3-0 in the week, but you've still got 12 games in hand over Runcorn Linnets at the top of the table and 34 points apart. But if you win those, then you go top dogs. Can it be done with all the FA Vars and various other things that you're in at the moment?
We've got a good squad, so there's no reason why it can't be done. I suppose time will tell, and for us in the change room, it's one game at a time. I mean, it beats training, I suppose. That's the only positive about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Hiya, Matt, by the way. I'm surprised we got to talk to you and thought you'd be playing tonight again, another game to play. It's incredible. I know Sky were down, weren't they? You've all become a bit big time talking about the fixture congestion. I saw you on the telly.
I've had a lot of clips, no interviews with me. Well, leave that to the people.
Yeah, and your manager too, of wearing a very fetching hat. How has it gone in Northwich? Because you're a fans club again, aren't you? And I know that everyone's been out posting flyers, trying to get everyone along to watch the game at the weekend. What's that been like?
It's been good, really. I mean, social media's been full of it. Like you said, everyone's hanging in flyers. I've had a flyer through my own door. I'm from Northwich, so I'm having a flyer through. My parents had flyers through.
Are you going?
I think... Pardon, sorry.
Are you going to go to the game? You've got a flyer through the door.
I'll give it to the missus so you can go.
All right. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's a real buzz about the place at the moment, with everyone knowing it's a big game and a lot at stake, really. So I think all people from down the pub and local area are looking to get down and support us, really, which is going to be a positive and be a bit different from the game last week, where bait was all for them, really.
How's your manager handling that? What's he said to you all about keep playing this, all this fixture congestion and having to go again?
I think it's an old cliche, really, but it's one game at a time. I mean, if we just focus on ourselves and perform like we can do, then the results and the achievements will obviously take care of themselves. So that's all we can do, really. There's not really else we can do at the moment. It's a bit of a strange situation to be in, where there is so many games piling up. But like I said, that's what you want to do at the start. You want to play and you want to be involved in these sort of games. And it's good that we're not just mid-table or whatever, just playing the season out, waiting for it to be over and waiting to start next year. So it's got to be a positive, really, and victims of our own success. But like I say, it's a positive, really.
And then Mark sort of going into Saturday, you know, obviously got to bring get back the goal. You know, I would say, you know, the first leg's obviously a massive game that the lads wouldn't have played in every week. You now go into the second leg. How close was the first leg, for starters? Were you in the football match, or did you come away feeling that you deserve something out of it? And how do you, are you going to go straight for the jugular Saturday, or what's the game plan going into that?
I mean, going back to Saturday, I say we're all in the changing room after we're disappointed with the way we felt the game had gone. I mean, there was times where we were under the cosh. I mean, Thatcham were a good side, they got some good players. But at the same time, we caused them a few problems as well. I think they'd probably be more disappointed than us that they didn't maybe nick another. So I think going into Saturday the game, well, we're training tomorrow night, so I suppose we'll take it from there and follow the instructions from there. I mean, obviously, it's only a goal. So we're well in the tie, 89th minute, still 0-0, then we get one late on, but like we can do and have done all year, then that'll be a positive as well, and we'll go into extra time with the home support behind us.
And this leg has been played at your alternative home this season because of the weather. So you're at Wincham Park, the home of Witton Albion. Does that make a difference to the players?
Yeah, it does. I mean, Witton's a bit of a better facility to have. It's a bigger ground. It's usually a better playing surface, so there's no doubt the game being on off that Friday night. Is it going to be on? Is it going to be off? You sort of know it's going to be on. And the way we like to play and pass the ball, then the pitch does help. It's a big pitch, which, you know, I felt on Saturday that Thatcham was quite a congested pitch, not a lot of time and space on the pitch. So I think it will be definitely a benefit. And I say all the lads look forward to playing at the facility because it's a great facility at our level.
Well, hopefully it'll be a great game as well. And we wish you luck with that and for the rest of the season. And thank you for joining us on the show.
I love the FA bars, Dave. I know we've been fortunate enough to go and see a few at Wembley and the occasion that it makes. Gosh, to be this close to it and thinking, right, just that one game, just that couple of games, just to get there is...
Yeah.
It's a bummer if you don't win.
Oh,
stating the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, it's cruel beyond belief. And I think, you know, I may be wrong in this, but I always think that the FA Trophy semi-finalists, you know, you look at the semi-finalists in the FA Trophy, they're playing football at a big level, you know, they're getting reasonable money, they're playing in front of reasonable gates every week. So they get there's a buzz about what they do, not all the time, but sort of most weeks. I think at the level of the FA Vars, which I'm now in, I'm next year, if I'm still at Chertsey, then we're eligible to play in it. So, but
would you go for it? Would you set that as a target?
Yes, but it's very difficult to go, we're going to win the FA Vars. 5 minutes and you can be at any cup competition, about 5 minutes. But certainly we'd like to do well in it. Yeah, why not? You know, but I think, to go back to the point, Kaz, because players at the level, and I'm at the level now, so I can speak, they don't play in front of big crowds. They don't play in magnificent facilities. There's lots of time when there's not a buzz about the place. So to get so close to the promised land, you know, and then not make it, I think is nearly worse than the trophy, lads. Yeah. Is anybody still awake?
Yeah, well, listening to your management insight, Mr. Anderson.
I mean, just think how revved up the team are going to be after his team talk at the weekend.
Yeah, maybe.
Shut up.
It's a good job this doesn't come out till Friday morning, isn't it? You know, you would have had your other training session.
Do you think I'm going to tell anybody at Chertsey about this show?
can I just say, and I know we have another guest on though, Dave, in all seriousness, I would sit in that dressing room and be pumped up and fired up if I had you there. So
you need to be careful. You've already put yourself in trouble tonight. You know, you might want to think about that statement.
should we go?
You want to be pumped up when I'm in the dressing room.
Okay, darling.
Okay, yep. Let's move on to the subject of football. There's another tie in the Vars. It's the All-Northern League one, with Stockton Town hosting the Mask United for the second time in as many weekends. But this time, officially, as the home club, and this time it's also a sellout. So if you've not got your ticket, you're going to miss out. The 3G pitch survived the snow last weekend as Stockton ran out 2-0 winners. So go into the second match as favourites. But is that a good thing, Martin Hillaby, chairman at Stockton Town?
Hiya. I don't think we're going to it as favourites, but we've certainly given ourselves a chance with the first leg result, yeah.
Well, yeah, I say favourites. You know, the league position, certainly Mask are up there in the league, so you know what they're capable of. But do you think it changes your tactics as you go into this second leg now because you're 2-0 up?
I don't think so, knowing our manager and our team and the way we set ourselves up to play football. And you know the psychology of the result in the first leg, you know that works both ways. You know, Mask must be looking at it thinking, God, if we concede a goal, you know, it's going to be especially hard. So it works both ways. So I can't see us doing anything much different how we played the first leg, to be fair.
There was a brilliant line from the Mask manager, Carl Jarrett. He said, I thought we totally dominated the possession, but we were like watching a frustrating Arsenal. So you could go on and beat Arsenal. That's got to be something, hasn't it, Martin?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's quite as easy as that either, is it? As we all know. But,
very good.
Yeah, as a sometimes Spurs fan, I appreciate that. So well done, you. Clearly, Chelmsford's still my first love, but when I have to, I'd support Spurs. For you, it's how important is it, just chatting to Dave about at the start of the season, whether you say, right, the Vars we go for, we really go for it. When you started this season, is it something you targeted, or was it just going to be like a happy happenstance of it if it happened throughout the season?
Yeah, it never entered our thought process that we could possibly get this far in the Vars, to be fair. I mean, we all know the Northern League's record in the Vars over the last 10 years. And, you know, we were hoping to compete in the top half of the Northern League One, which would tell you that, you might be able to have a good run in the Vars. But with some of the teams that we've knocked out and some of the clubs that we've knocked out to date, you know that there were really tough games. And some of them games could have gone either way. The game against Consett at home, the game against West Auckland. It was literally the toss of a coin who won the games, you know. And fortunately for us, it's been us, and we find ourselves in this position, you know. And everyone's gone on about Mask, and yes, they're an excellent team, and they'll finish first or second, I'm pretty sure, you know, with some really high quality players. But you know, we are up there in the top half of this league, and you know, there's no bad teams in the top half of the Northern League, in our opinion. So yeah, we've got to have a chance. But did we expect to be here? No. Did we set our sights on it? No. You know, so it's all a bonus now.
Well, given that, have you done that? Close your eyes, dare to dream what it'd be like walking out of Wembley?
Oh, I don't think I've slept for about 8 weeks now. I keep waking up at 2 in the morning, staring at the ceiling, thinking, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? The wife's not too happy because she keeps saying, are you going to calm yourself down? So it's been quite a journey. And I mean, this week it's just getting even more exciting, really. You know, Saturday's coming around quickly. I can't go anywhere without anybody wanting to talk about it, whether it's at work, in the street, in the pub. So you can't get away from it now. It's there for everyone to see. So you've just got to ride with it, and we'll see what Saturday brings. And I think if we're fortunate enough that Saturday is kind to us and we make it, I dread to think what the next 2 months are going to be like before the final. But let's get there first and see what Saturday brings, eh?
Yeah, and to be fair, Martin, I think you hit on it earlier on in the interview. Psychologically, you're not the manager, so I understand that, but I'm going to ask you as a chairman. Psychologically, 2-0 up, everything to gain, everything to lose, I wouldn't say nothing to gain, but in a situation that really, if it was to turn badly and you lose, it will affect the team for a while. There's no doubt. My question to you is, If you were the manager, how would you ask the lads to play in the first half an hour of the game?
Well, a lot of our strengths are on the counter-attacking side of football. Anyway, we have a lot of pace in the front four positions, and a lot of skill in the front four positions. You know, so I'm looking at our strengths and thinking, you know, we don't need to come out, but we need to be really positive in possession when we have possession. So that's my feel for it, but Michael Dunwell's far more qualified to make them decisions than I am, so I'll be saying nothing and letting him get on with it.
Well, do you know what? It's a ways move, Mr. Chairman, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I also, sorry, you know, last one for me. Sorry, Martin. I was just going to say, last one for me is that, you know, the thought of sort of the big day, and I always think about it from a dressing room point of view, you know, walking out at Wembley, and, you know, I've never done it as a manager, but it must be a magnificent thrill. But for yourself, having the whole experience of the director's box and all that side of it, you're never too old to dream, are you?
Oh, without a doubt, you know, as we've said, you know, I keep waking up in the middle of the night thinking, what about this, what about that? And, you know, there's a whole team that's got the club to where it's at. You know, it's not just about the chairman, but I can assure you that everybody connected with the club, whether it's one of our junior team managers, our junior players, our committee members, you know, that we're all having the same thoughts. We're all having the same dreams, I think, and pinching ourselves to think, God, how we ended up here. You know, but it comes down to the hard work that's gone in over the last 10 years. You know, the steps that club's made have been phenomenal. But, you know, a lot of people won't realise the true story that's really behind our football club, you know, is in the players that are representing us, you know, and how they've got to where they've got to. It's quite a story, really.
Yeah, just 2 seasons ago, you were at Step 7, weren't you, Martin?
2 seasons ago at Step 7. We'd won the Step 7 League for 4 years running. We couldn't get promotion because of the ground criteria. We had all sorts of problems in our development, but the players stuck with us, you know, but the reason the players stuck with us is because at the time, 80-90% of them had come through the junior ranks. Now it's still about 70% of them have only played senior football for our club, you know. They've come up, some of them have been there since 7 or 8 and never played for anybody else. And,
wow.
You know, that breeds a loyalty. And when you look at the squad, you know, the squad that we've got in place and the 19 players that are in it, I think there's one lad that lives outside of the actual town, the borough of Stockton. You know, which is quite remarkable, and a lot of people don't understand the work that started 10 years ago that's actually got us where we are, you know.
Well, hopefully the next tranche of your young players will be amongst that sellout crowd on Saturday and be inspired to go on to even greater things. Have you got a high spot in the ground? Is there a fire escape on the side of the building or maybe a roof?
Well, the sixth form college runs alongside it, but I haven't got keys to get onto the top floor yet to get a better view.
Well, I think one thing you need to do for yourself on Saturday is try and get up there, and then when you look down and see that you know, capacity crowd and all those people there for Stockton Town, that's when you realise that's why you wanted to be a football chairman.
I don't think I ever set out to be a football chairman.
No one ever does.
But, I ended up with this baby in my arms 10 years ago, and I've got a full-grown, oversized, obese adult in my hands now that I don't know what to do with. And I can't find anybody to take it off my hands, but that's another thing. But, no, I mean, seriously, Stockton's a big town, and we could have sold 6, 7, 8,000 tickets for this game. The interest has been phenomenal. And, you know, it's... it doesn't matter what view I've got on, as long as we get over the line now, that's the only thing that matters, isn't it?
Well, that, yeah, it seems to be the golden ticket for the weekend. We wish everybody that's going along that enjoys the game and wish you the very best for a result in that one, Martin, and thank you for joining us. Well, guys, another chairman that didn't want to do it, but does it for the love.
Yeah, we've all ended up in that position. the last one standing. Who wants to step forward?
Yeah.
But of course you do it. The problem is, you do it for the love, and you stay doing it for the love, and it hooks you in for the rest of your life, whether you're a fan, whether you're working behind the bar, whether you're managing. That's why you've gone back, Dave, isn't it? It's because it's you get the bug. You want to...
Yeah.
I joke with you about it being the pound note, but it's not that.
No, I think the big thing, I was just sitting last night and the chairman brought in the committee, you know, just to get them to come down so I could say hello, you know, and... you just look around and the volunteers are all volunteers, and he's sort of saying, you know, we'll do as much as we can to help you, and you know, it's our club, and you know, nearly apologetic for what they are, and I said, listen, this is non-league, they're not aware I do this, and the show, they'll probably become aware of it in the next few weeks, but I felt like saying, you know, I know a lot more about this than you think, because we've seen it time after time, north of the country, south, middle, east, west, and it's just a common denominator. There is the amount of time people put in voluntary because of their love of their local team, and I, as I say, it's one of the things that draws you back to it, Kaz. You're absolutely right.
There was a lovely image this week of Lowestoft fans and Dulwich Hamlet fans with arms around each other. We've seen it so often over the past few weeks with fans getting together for the Dulwich March, but just putting money into buckets and wanting to support and knowing what it would mean to one club to see all of that pulled away from them because of those decades of years of work just put into living, supporting, loving your football club. And that's why it's just, you know, when someone walks along and rips that out from underneath you, why it's so heartbreaking and why that resonates so much with other fans.
Oh, it's generational. You know, it's not one generation. You know, it's two and three generations, and that's what people who, and I listen. I know there's generations who support the big teams. You know, the Man Uniteds of this world and that. But when you see it at lower level, there's something I don't know, more real and more honest about it, and. You know, listen, I've had my moments with supporters as well as officials, but it's only because we all love it. And speaking to Martin, you know, the most humble chairman you could ever wish to meet, really, just speaking to him, you know, and while I'm tossing and turning on Friday night, thinking about my game Saturday, I'll smile thinking about what he's gone through on Friday night, you know, so because at least I've experienced at it, you know, but it's fantastic.
Well, we sort of run out of time again. It's been fantastic to have the old school back,
and I've just
been sat in the background, just sort of pushing, twiddling a few knobs and a couple of buttons. But hey, before Miss Barker makes some other smutty comment about that sort of thing,
hang on, I am pure, and it's only the mind of one Dave Anderson, who I could have booted from here to eternity several occasions during my life, but I've refrained from doing it because I love him so. It's his filthy mind and not mine. Well, some of us were born in the gutter.
You're absolutely right, love. You're absolutely right. But you don't have set yourself up for it sometimes.
That's why I'd make a good assistant manager, Dave. Remember
absolutely.
That?
Well, we should do that. Maybe we'll do that.
I'll do the cones. Yeah. I'll do the cones. Yeah.
I can see a five-a-side invitational coming on, yeah.
If you're listening to this on Friday, I will be mid 12-hour five-a-side football game. Robbie Savage for Sports Relief is playing five-a-side for 12 hours. And I have the even worse job of having to report on it for 12 hours. So that'll be fun.
Oh, my God.
So if you're not doing anything on Friday, put on the red button on the telly and you'll see us playing. I might take a penalty, Dave. In which case, tell me now, which way should I go, left or right?
Go to the keeper's right. Goalkeepers generally are happier to go left.
Okay. Is he setting me up here?
I'm trying to.
If the goalkeeper, this is true as a fact, is you don't get this everywhere. If a goalkeeper's right footed, he's better diving left. It's a more natural side to dive. I know it sounds
it's
stupid, but that's exactly
it's Shay Given.
Oh, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Get studying those videos now.
Yeah. Oh, I know where my money's going.
Oh, he's got money now. He's back in management.
Oh, quality.
Thank you once again. Thank you, Caroline.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
Well, yeah, we'll have you back anytime. Thank you, Dave.
Pleasure. It's been great fun.
And thank you to all our guests and, of course, for everybody for listening. Don't forget you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put the podcast on your website with the embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Thank you and goodbye.
IBBA JABBA.